Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Today's meditation is called The Neverending Story, about the 1984 fantasy movie with that name. I want to talk about this movie because it was a big part of my childhood growing up. I didn't watch it when I was really young, but I was young enough to really get into it and to see the things that are in it. I like this movie because it really fits into the worldview that I have. And interestingly enough, if you know the backstory about it, it's not exactly what the writer of the book wanted. So the movie's based on a book called The Neverending Story. And if you pick up the book, you'll read the story about Bastian and how he's a boy who's put upon. Life is troubling him. He has lost his mother. She's passed away. His relationship with his father is not so great. He's having trouble at school, trouble focusing, trouble making good grades. And he's also being bullied. And so it's one of those stories where the main character is just troubled on all sides. It's kind of a hero's journey. But if you watch the movie only covers half of the book. The other half of the book is covered by The Neverending Story Part 2, which has never gotten good reviews, and from what I've seen of it, is not a great movie. It's definitely not as good as the first one. The author of the book was not happy with the movie. First of all, he said, "You cut my book in half. Like, what the heck are you guys doing?" So he hated that. Some of the imagery in the movie he really didn't like either. And so he wasn't happy with the movie. He criticized it. He didn't like the acting. He didn't like the way it was set up. But I think the biggest thing was the fact that it only covers half of the story. But for my purposes, as I watch it and see it and meditate on it, which is what I tend to do with movies, it really fits into my worldview because it's a story of redemption and it's a story of the subconscious and the spirit world, things that are unseen, things that are powerful forces in our lives that we don't usually think about. And so Bastian's going through this thing. And the thing gets really meta because the book is called The Neverending Story that the movie's based on. So if you watch the movie, you're seeing the story that's in the book. Well, in the story, Bastian comes across a book that's called The Neverending Story. And so he's running away from some bullies after having a talk with his father in the morning where his father was kind of criticizing him and telling him he needs to really focus and keep his feet on the ground. That was the thing that he said. And so when he leaves home, he runs into the bullies. And so he's running away from them. And eventually he hides in a bookstore, which really works well for the story. But in the bookstore, he comes across this old man and the old man is reading the book, The Neverending Story, and they have a conversation and he's really intrigued with the idea of this book because the old man tells him it's not a safe book. This book will take you on an adventure that won't leave you alone. In other words, you become part of the story. So there, it's really meta because he does take the book and take it to the school and he skips out on school and just reads the book. But as he's reading it, he's reading the story of Atreyu, a young boy who has to be a hero. And so Bastian is reading the story of Atreyu. And we would be reading the book or, in this case, watching the movie. So we have the story of Atreyu being followed by Bastian, and so there's a story of Bastian, and then there's us watching, and then we have our own story, and so that's how it becomes really, really meta. And I think that was part of the whole point, is that not only did Bastian become part of the story, but we would become part of the story. And I know of a book like that. I've based my whole life on it. It's the Bible. It's the story that doesn't end. It's a story that becomes a part of your life, And there's so many stories and so many adventures in there. And I think because this movie is made the way that it is, it kind of fits into that mold. There's a part towards the end that really touches on those things, and I want to talk about that. But first, we'll keep going with what happens in the movie here. So the characters in the book that Bastian is reading are in the land of Fantasia. And Fantasia is the land of hopes and dreams of humans, of people. So all of those that are in Fantasia are not humans and people. They're ideas, their thoughts, their hopes and dreams, right? And so it's really wild. It's really amazing. The characters in there are fantastical. Obviously, it's Fantasia. But there's a problem there. There's a thing that's coming in. It's called the Nothing. And the Nothing is taking over the land. And the Nothing is what's left when people have stopped hoping and forgotten their dreams. And this is all explained towards the end by one of the enemies in the movie, one of the protagonists, the antagonists, sorry. His name is Gamork, and he's basically the big bad wolf. He's very humanized. He speaks. He has a very clear voice. He has like glowing green eyes, and he's huge. He's massive, a massive, massive beast. And the thing that Atreyu has to do is come up with a new name for the Empress. At first, he doesn't know. First, he has to go and find a cure because she's sick. And so the Empress is sick, and it's tied to this Nothing that's been coming around. The two things are connected, and the people don't know why. But let's get into my views on this movie, because what I see in this movie is like a lot of metaphors. The metaphor of you are what you eat. You know, there's a character called the Rockbiter. He's a huge mountain of a beast called the Rockbiter, and he's made out of rocks. And so he's made from stone and rock, and he's eating rocks. So it's a very straightforward metaphor of you are what you eat. And then there's a character called Nighthawk. He's a dark man who rides on the wings of a huge bat. And so he's basically the night man. He's dirty. He's always eating. The bat's always sleepy. It's all of the things that happen when you don't sleep at night. When you stay up late, you tend to eat too much. You tend to not be a very clean person. Not always, and maybe not everybody, but these are things that happen. I think they happen to a lot of people in their youth. They want to stay up late. They don't feel like cleaning. They don't like to be told what to do. And we see a lot of the creatures that just have straightforward metaphors. There's a two-faced person in the crowd when they're talking about this adventure that Atreyu has to go on, this great searching out for a cure. So Atreyu is actually a young warrior from the people who hunt the purple buffalo, but his journey kind of tracks with the journey of a boy through manhood. At the very beginning, he's wandering around. He's going to many different places. He's basically just running. A little boy does that. A little boy runs. And there comes a point in his life where he goes into the swamp of sadness. And that's the teenage years where things get melancholy and you don't understand exactly what's going on. And he has a friend with him, which is Artax, his horse. And this is probably the one thing that people remember if they watch this movie in their childhood, is that Artax gets overtaken by the sadness of the swamp, and he gets swallowed up by the swamp. And it's very dramatic in the movie. Atreyu is egging him on and trying to encourage him, and he's trying to save his horse, his best friend, and so the horse dies. That was a big deal for anybody who watched this movie, especially little kids. I mean, if you watched this when you were young, that was almost traumatizing. And lots of people have said that. But there comes a time in a man's life when he suffers loss. There comes a time when he suffers separation. And it's like that. It's very dramatic. It's very troubling. So Atreyu goes through that. And then after that, he gets all the way through the swamp of sadness, and he meets with Morla, the ancient one. And I think this kind of gets into a young man getting into his 20s, into early adulthood, in that you meet people who are older and wiser. And at some point you realize they're not as wise as you thought they were. And that happens somewhere around that time. That's a normal evolution of life, is that you come to meet people and you come to hear their wisdom, but then you hear their foolishness as well. And you hear that they're sometimes trying to impress you. And that's what happens with Morla, the ancient one. So that Atreyu kind of gets over on him and learns that the Empress needs a new name and that he has to reach the boundaries of Fantasia. And Morla doesn't encourage him. He kind of tells him it's impossible. You can't do it. And so he leaves there, and he grows tired, and he almost falls and just ends the journey there. And in the background, you see that Gamork, the wolf, is coming after him and closing in on him. But then the luck dragon comes and swoops up Atreyu and takes him where he needs to go. And so the metaphor with the luck dragon is your subconscious, because he takes him almost all the way there. He takes Atreyu on this journey, and he even tells him, like, you're a few miles short of where you need to be. And so Atreyu he's mystified, and he's asking, like, well, how did this happen? And the luck dragon tells him, oh, with luck. But that's how our subconscious works, is that it takes us really, really far. It takes us to places where physically we can't go, where mentally we don't understand. We just end up being moved around by a force that's internal, and yet it seems like luck. It feels like, well, we just got lucky. But it's your subconscious. It's a powerful force that moves inside of you, but it doesn't take you all the way. In other words, it takes you to a point where then you have to make a decision. So I think with Falcor, the luck dragon, that's the metaphor that we get. It's your subconscious. So then he comes to the gates and he meets a little scientist guy. Same thing, you know, meeting with the older people. And so then he gets to the point where there's a man in his prime, because you see that at the first gate, he has to run and jump. And the thing is that the gate wants to destroy him, and it's looking at his heart. It's looking deep down into him and testing who he is. Well, that is a man in the prime of his life. He's trying to outrun his destruction because he's getting older, and he's learning that that the body eventually is going to break down. You're strong, you're young, you're still able to run and jump, and you're still able to feel the strength that has been placed in you, in your body. And yet, there comes a point where you're trying to outrun your destruction, because older age is coming, and breakdown is coming, and you know, you only have so much time to succeed with what you've built in a career, in a business, in a family. And the world is not a friendly place. And so what you're doing in your prime is you're trying to outrun your destruction. It's very clearly seen in the first gate. And then he comes to the second gate, the midlife crisis, where you have to face your real self. You're facing the person that you really are. You know, are you still that little boy inside that you once were? And so in the story, Bastion has been following through this whole thing. He's starting to realize that he's part of the story. At one point, he shouts, and in the book, there is a mention of this, so that everybody turns and tries to figure out where did that shout come from. And Bastion's like freaked out a little bit. And he's starting to realize that he's part of the story. And once Atreyu gets to the second gate, the midlife crisis thing, he's looking at it and it's a mirror. And the way that it's been described is that it's the most terrible thing in the world, and that you look into it and you see who you really are. And people who are brave realize that they're just cowards, and you know, friendly people realize that they're mean, and you realize that you're not what you thought you were or what you told yourself you were. And so Atreyu is a young warrior, and he's strong, and he goes to the second gate and he sees this mirror, and he sees Bastion. And so this is the whole meta thing, where the story of Atreyu is the story of Bastion. And if you look closely enough, if you really get into the story, then you are looking at yourself and questioning, like, who am I? You know? But when that happens, Atreyu's kind of freaked out and doesn't understand, you know, like, what I see is a little boy reading a book in a dark room. And Bastion looks up from the book and he sees Atreyu, and he grabs that book and he throws it and he freaks out and he says, there's no way. He's really upset by the fact that now he has become part of the story and the story is becoming real in his life. but that is the metaphor that I see with Atreyu. And it goes farther. He goes farther because there's a place that he gets to, because he's still trying to reach the boundaries of Phantasia and get a name for the Empress from a human child. That's the other part of it. The human child is going to be Bastion, of course. But the next place that Atreyu gets to is the Hall of Frescoes. That's what it's called on the DVD menu. But the Hall of Frescoes is this place. It's ruins of a place, of a city, I suppose, but there are paintings on the walls of these ruins, and the paintings follow the story of Atreyu when at first he went and received his orders and received the Orin, the amulet that he wore around his neck. And then when he was in the Swamp of Sadness, when he met Morla, he sees all these different things. He sees the gates. There's paintings of his life. And this metaphorically is old age, when you're looking back on your life. A man, as he's going through his life, goes through his youth, he goes through the coming of age, he goes through his prime, and then the midlife crisis, and then eventually he gets to the old age, and here's where you look back on your life and you see the things that you've done, you see the things that you've experienced. And I really love that it's paintings. I love to paint. I love art, and it's something I hadn't seen in a movie, you know, the scenes of the movie painted for the main character to look at. But it's pretty cool. But at the end of these paintings, he sees a painting of Gamork. And so that's the next thing that he's going to do. He's going to face off with the enemy. And this enemy is death. I mean, after old age, what do? You face off with death. And so he has a conversation with Gamork, and this is like the climax of the movie. It's like the best part. And that's the thing that I think I find most interesting, because Gamork is the one that explains to Atreyu everything, that Phantasia has no boundaries because it's the land of imagination, that the nothing is coming and there's a power there. And so Atreyu asks him, like, who are you really? And Gamork tells him, he says, I'm the servant of the power behind the nothing. To me, that's fascinating because it ties into what I see in the Bible, in that when you talk about the devil and the Antichrist, there is an unholy trinity. There is the devil, there is the beast, and then there is the Antichrist, the man. And so there's three, which form an unholy trinity, because the devil always copies the things that God does. God is the holy trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he has the devil, the beast, and the servant, or the Antichrist. And so Gamork is talking about, I am the servant of the power behind the nothing. So there's a unholy trinity there. There's the nothing, there's the power, and then there's the servant, which is Gomorrah. And that, I think, is the greatest metaphor that I see here, is that that is the enemy. That's the enemy of your life. That's the enemy called death. I mean, the enemy of life is death, right? And so Atreyu then says, well, let's, you know, if you're looking for Atreyu, I'm right here. Because he had told him, you know, I was following this guy. And so Atreyu says, come for me, Gomorrah. And he says, I'd rather die fighting. And so Gomorrah attacks him and he ends up killing Gomorrah. And I think in the book, there's more to it, but I'm not familiar with it. I haven't read the book. I just know that there's more to it from what I've read. So he kills Gomorrah, and then, but then yet he's still sad because he hasn't been able to reach the boundaries of Phantasia, which the reality is that he has. And Bastion just has to yell out the name. And there's probably another climactic part of the movie where Bastion finally becomes a part of the story. He accepts that he's part of the story and he shouts out his own mother's name for the Empress. But by then, it was almost too late. It looks like it was too late. The Empress appears with Bastion and she shows him a grain of sand and says, this is all that's left of Phantasia. But then she basically gives him the grain of sand, and then Bastion is able to make wishes through that piece of sand and become a part of Phantasia and make Phantasia real again. And so he can bring back all of the people that were in the story, Bastion and his horse Artax, and the Rockbiter and the Nighthawk and all of the other characters that were in the story. And so he gets to ride on the Luck Dragon, Falcor, and that's pretty much the end of the movie, is that Bastion is now the new hope. He's the one who's bringing about the whole story again. And so the story continues. But so in the book, there's more to it. The whole deal with the Empress is a cycle. And I think the old man is supposed to be the young boy who first got the book, and then now he's passing it on to another young boy, and the story goes on and on and on. But the fact that the movie is wrapped up like that, it reminds me of the spiritual life, because there is another kingdom. There's an invisible kingdom that's all around us, and there's fantastical things that are happening. And we don't see them, but we're a part of them, and they're a part of us. And we don't experience them, you know, in a straightforward way. It's kind of mysterious, and it's built on hopes and dreams and spiritual things, not physical things. And we do face an enemy, and we do have this this course of life that we go through. I mean, I'm in it right now. I'm at the point of basically midlife and maybe going on towards older age. And so I think following a story like this is pretty cool. I like it. I really enjoy it. And I don't know how much of what I was talking about was actually intentionally there. Maybe that's just in my mind. Maybe that's my own interpretation. And I don't know if anybody else has that interpretation, but I find it really, really interesting. And so that's why I wanted to have a morning meditation on the never-ending story. Thank you for listening.